I'm Alexia Ridley with Athens News Matters, a show dedicated to local news, current events, and community outreach efforts. Today, my guests discuss new plans by the Clark County School District's new superintendent, Damon Means, and proposed construction projects, including a high-rise on Mitchell Street and a Quick Trip on Oak Street. All that and much more next on Athens News Matters. Hello, I'm Alexia Ridley, host of Athens News Matters. My guests today are Gwen O'Looney with WXAG, Blake Odd with Flagpole, and District 6 Commissioner Jerry Neesmith. So, of course, welcome everyone. And it's good to have you back, Commissioner Neesmith.
Thank you very much. Good
to
be here.
Let's go ahead and speak about the new superintendent, rather, Damon Means, who seems to be coming in with a clear vision and getting some things put into place. Blake, you did a very nice article.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Well, he's been on the job now for about a month and a half. I think we've discussed this before, but he was hired a few months ago to replace Philip Lanoux. We got him from a school district in suburban Milwaukee. And so he's arrived with his wife and his five-year-old daughter, which I think is cool that he's actually got a kid in the school district. So, you know, this is all a little bit more than it's not abstract or hypothetical for him. You know, he's really got a...
This is real life for him.
But he has been, you know, and he was hired for this reason because he's been talking a lot about equity and social justice, and he's already been, I think, you know, acting to put some of that into place. One of the things that a lot of people will probably be happy to hear is that he's conducting an external investigation into the Cedar Shoals sexual assault that really kind of rocked the city a couple of years ago, about a year and a half ago. So, you know, that'll go a long way towards, I think, you know, rebuilding any trust that was lost between parents and teachers on the east side of the administration.
Think some was lost.
Oh yeah, for sure, definitely. He's restored after-school programs at three of the schools. I think it was, what was it, Fowler Gaines and...
Coyle.
No, they were all elementary schools.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
It's all on the east side,
though.
They're all
on the east side,
Fowler
yeah.
Drive. Fowler Drive.
Yep, Fowler Gaines, and I can't remember the third one, but...
Julia?
Off the top of my head, I don't think... 4th Street, maybe?
I can't remember.
Anyway, don't take my word for
no,
it.
No, 4th Street.
There were three. They were all on the east side. You know, they were all minority schools, and they had all, you know, I'm not actually 100% sure why, you know, they were canceled in the first place, but he's brought them back, so that's a big step.
I don't think they ever, and it's Stroud, Fowler,
Stroud.
And Gaines.
Thank
that's
you.
What
Thank
it was.
You.
And I'm not sure that some of those ever had it. You know, at one point, Stroud was thought to have the Boys and Girls Club, and so they were working out things and that sort of thing. So, I think everybody needs to be looking at whether or not we have a real balanced quality of services in our community. That's something that's a little overdue, but I really like it. And I love his transparency, like you said, about the external investigation. I think that's great. And when there was a slur on the after Charlottesville, he made that. You know, he let that be known. He didn't hide it. I think that creates an ownership in a community. It's a really wise way of operating. Our police chief, I've lauded many times because I think he's taking the same approach. It's interesting that this new generation of leaders that we're inheriting are coming in with those kind of policies and understandings about what citizens expect.
So. Well, Blake, as I said, this is a very good article and looking forward to seeing what he's doing. He definitely is part of the community because, as you said, his own child is going to be in the public school system. That gives you incentive to look out for everybody's children in the school system.
Well, and I could tell you too. I mean, the board members, you know, who hired him are very excited. You know, of course, I'm naturally a little bit more skeptical. You know, I really like what he's saying. I think all the teachers who kind of felt beaten down under Lanou, you know, I mean, they like what he's saying. You know, they're still a little bit of, okay, well, let's see what he does. You know, we like this, but, you know, let's see what he does. But, I mean, so far it seems like he's backing it up.
Mm-hmm. Well, some good news.
Right. You know. It'll be interesting to see how the change in the policy related to the president of the board and how that, if at all, affects him. But I think it'll give him a stronger position, because when you have that annual turnover in the president of the board, I don't particularly agree with the annual turnover part, but I don't mind that turnover.
I think it's 2 years.
Is it two years?
I believe it'll give a voice to the rest of the board, too. I think it's going to strengthen all the board's ability to communicate and move their agendas, get their agendas on the floor.
Mm-hmm. Well, my observation has kind of been that Dr. Worthy really runs a tight ship over there on the board. And, you know, I think to the point where, you know, it actually limits debate, because, I mean, there were times when, you know, he'd kind of team up with Dr. Lanou and really just kind of shut things down and let's move it along and not really talk about this and just go ahead and prove it. And not, you know, allow questions to be asked, you know, and I don't necessarily mean this as a criticism, because that's kind of, you know, he feels like the superintendent really should run things, you know, and that the board should, you know, kind of take a step back. But I think a lot of the board members now don't really necessarily agree with that approach. I think they've seen that they need to be more of a check on the superintendent, I think. Mm-hmm. I don't think it has anything to do with who's in office now, you know, but I mean, I do think it has to do with the board wanting to be a little bit more proactive and a little more involved in policy. Not micromanaging, but involved in policy.
Right. Yeah. I agree with you, Blake, and I think it's overdue. One of the things that I was concerned about from the very beginning, you know, at one point, I don't remember whether it was a rule or what, but prior members, school board employees, didn't run. He was the first prior school board.
He was the principal at Cedar.
He was, and he was the first one that I remember. And so I think that it's only natural for him to have a very strong, ownership of the school system being in charge. That's
right.
A reaction.
I think it's his background, yeah. I mean, as an administrator, I think he feels like the administration should really call the shots. Yeah, I agree with that.
Well, we will certainly hear more from our new superintendent in the future, but we can move on now to basically a slate of construction projects. We can start with the high-rise on Mitchell Street.
But this is a development in 155 Mitchell Street, which is basically between Williams and Thomas Street, in a small 1.68-acre piece of land that until 2006 had three homes on it, which were demolished then, and it's been vacant ever since. It's also a lot of construction material that's from our street work, actually, that's piled up along the creek that runs behind this property, all of which will be removed. This is a three-story underground parking, mostly underground. Part of it, because of the lay of the land, is exposed. And then additional seven stories of dwelling units. It's 123 units. Despite what you may have heard, it is predominantly two-bedroom, two-bath, 111 two-bedroom, two-bath, and 12 three-bedroom, two-bath. These are going to be upscale units, not for students. This is for people who want to live downtown. There's no place for people my age and younger to live downtown. In my experience, bringing friends into town, and actually some of them moving here, the first thing they wanted to do is look for a place to live downtown, and there weren't any. Right now, I understand there's like two condominiums available anywhere.
Wow.
In town. So anyway, that's the fundamental picture there.
they're saying that it's going to be senior housing, and, you know, I don't know.
Not necessarily senior.
Or
just not student housing is what they're saying.
Professionals, retirees.
Yeah, that's what they all say.
I don't really see. I don't see seniors really wanting to walk up the hills in downtown and be on the wrong side
of
downtown.
Well, you're not getting as much credit, Blake. We can walk up hills. Come on.
Sure, you can. But I can't see a lot of students walking up that hill from the Mark either. I think there's going to be a lot of people driving downtown from the Mark, but. So it's not necessarily, I'm not trying to age discriminate. But, you know, I mean, what is it going to be? Is it going to turn out to be game day condos? I mean, I think that's probably the most likely thing, you know. I mean, there's no reason why it couldn't be students. I don't think they put anything in the covenants or anything about 55 and up.
Covenants can't do that except in accordance with HUD standards, which would be 52 and up.
55, I think it is.
Might be 55, but they're not going to do that. No, yeah. They're not. But these are
I don't know
be,
why a young professional would want a two-bedroom. I mean, they'd be looking for a one-bedroom most likely, but.
Well, I mean.
And what young professional in Athens can afford a $300,000 condo?
Well, it depends on what his profession is.
Well, there's not a lot of people who make that kind of money or young professionals in Athens. Yeah. I can tell you that.
Well, this is going to diversify our downtown population. It's going to give us a mix of people in the street downtown. It's going to make this piece of property very valuable. Be a very valuable. Part of our tax digest, and it may attract even more of this kind of upscale young professional or retiree or old professional housing in that area. I think that that we need this, and I think we're ripe to have it.
In less than 2 acres, to put 10 stories on it, and
well, it's 7 stories
how many apartments?
Ground.
Yeah, well, it's ten stories.
It's on a hill. It's on a slope. It's 10 stories on one side and 7 on the other.
Right. Yeah, but that ugly side is the one facing the
river.
It's
being rezoned from RM2, which would allow 40 bedrooms.
Yeah, so fivefold.
To commercial downtown, which would allow up to 340 bedrooms. This will have 258 bedrooms.
Right. But that's it would be about 60 or 70 in the current zoning.
Spot zoning because it is adjoining other it adjoins a commercial downtown zoning. Also, it doesn't overpower a neighborhood. It doesn't encroach on a residential neighborhood. It's a piece of land that needs a good use, and we've always wanted high density in the core, and this achieves that.
Yeah, I do agree with high density in the core.
Sure, yeah,
I really
me
do.
Too.
But when, the smaller your lot, that you, the less greenery. We don't have any design standards related to leaving some quality
context of our density. We're working on that with the developer to have some more. And this is a plan
unless it's in the plan development, you
this
have
is
nothing
in,
but
this
talk.
Is a plan development.
Uh-huh. And so is the greenery already in there?
No, but we're working with him.
Uh-huh. Well, it sounds like you are very supportive, and I agree with working
I've been very open-minded up until just a few days ago because I wanted to hear all sides. I've heard all sides. Believe me, I've heard a lot of stuff. And I think I'm going to vote positive in favor of this. There's a lot of misinformation going on around here. Someone called this urban sprawl.
This is the opposite.
That's ridiculous. Of course, it's not urban sprawl.
Yeah. And someone said it's student apartments. It's not student apartments.
Well, we don't know that. I mean, that's what the guy's saying. I've heard that before.
We've had several of this retiree empty nester housing proposals before us in the last few months.
Yeah.
They've all been ridiculous. They've been private streets and because they wanted to pack the houses, the duplexes in. They're just not reasonable, and we don't know what those would be either.
Sure.
This is the first one that I have seen that might actually achieve that.
Georgia Heights, I remember, that was sold as being young professionals, and that, of course, has turned out to be, you know, all students or almost all students because that's what the market is. You know, again, when you're charging $1,000, $1,200 for a one-bedroom apartment, you know, who can afford to pay that? It's students' parents. It's not, you know, 25-year-olds who live in Athens. I can guarantee you that, having been a 25-year-old living in Athens. That's way, way, way out of 99% of people's
living. Well, the other thing that people are objecting to is that it's not affordable housing. Well, you're not going to see affordable housing downtown. In fact,
you do see affordable housing. The Georgian Hotel was done on a process that created a mix of economic potentials. And look at Columbia Brookside.
Well, that's public housing.
It's mixed.
But it's
There's Denny Tower downtown. There's Bethel Homes downtown. That could all be done in that model, and we could have affordable housing. And we could also have inclusionary zoning, which might not be affordable,
but it would be
moderate income.
We don't have inclusionary zoning, and this is what's on our table right now.
Okay, but we've been...
Do we need inclusionary zoning? Yes, I think we do.
People have been saying that for 10 years, and there hasn't been an effort made to, like, even put it in place.
I'm
so
not the mayor.
I understand that.
But the mayor is not the only one that can propose.
But when Heidi was the mayor, Heidi talked about it, and the commission didn't want to talk about it. So, I mean, you know, it cuts both ways. At some point, you can't just say, well, yes, I think we need this, but, you know, that's not what's on our plate right now. Like, get it on your plate eventually.
I agree, but it needs to be on our plate. I totally agree. Maybe that'll be one result of the comprehensive plan.
You know, and then there's the moratorium. I think the commission is probably going to approve this development when you have a moratorium on, and I understand that they're not going to pull the building permit until after the moratorium is going to expire. But at the same time, you have no idea what is going to come out of the study that is the reason why you put the moratorium on downtown in the first place that might impact any project that would go on this property.
I don't think the moratorium is the study that's going on is going to have anything to do with design guidelines. I think that the primary purpose of that study is safety.
Right.
And it has a lot to do with bars and streets and sidewalks and things like that.
Right.
I can't imagine anything coming out of that study that would be bypassed by this plan development. Now, I could be wrong, but I can't imagine what it would be.
Well, I would like to see an approach that was more comprehensive. I think what we do is splice, 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 splice. And as you're saying, this may be perfect. This may be a perfect plan. But until we are in a position to where we know what our criteria are, we know what our vision is, and we have the parameters and the tools in place to be incentivizing those kind of programs and projects, we're in trouble. There's about three different suburbs in Virginia that were very elitist and then realized that they had built out their community without any place for people who could support the community, work there, et cetera. And they have some excellent programs across the country, but they are great exhibits of the mixed economic scene where you have every project that's built is built mixing their community in a way that they know is better for them. But, you know, I have to be honest. I am for density downtown. I would like to see that density include people like me, people like Alexia, the young professional. I was including you like me, Jerry, and Blake and his family. I really would like to see that diversity, but the pressure that I think we're going to see a relaxing of that pressure because of the three big developments that are already there.
Yes.
And so there'll be an opportunity for an influx of that retirees or young professionals group. I agree with Blake. They're not going to be buying $300,000 condos when they're young. You know, it takes a while to get that. And we hope the
or
university.
Older.
Yeah, right. Yes.
Well, I was at a meeting of the Athens Home Builders Association this morning, and they gave us some math that really shocked me. It is very difficult to build a under $200,000 home in Athens now.
Oh, I know that. Look at
because
Sunset
of
Drive.
The land prices and because the labor and material costs have gone up 40% in the last few years. The materials, concrete, lumber.
I still think there's a lot of things that, you know, that the commission could do to make it cheaper, though, to make it more affordable. Well, you could, you know, increase the density, you know, allow in-law suites. I mean, there are all kinds of things.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing we talked with the Home Builders Association about that very thing, saying, give us some ideas that we can work on. I mean, the new infill housing ordinance has had some unintended consequences, for example. Mm-hmm. We want to know how to fix that. I think they can tell us, and I think we may be able to fix it, not even having to go through the commission, but the Planning Commission giving us some text amendments and bringing it up to us.
Right.
There may be some harder problems that take some more committee work. But these are the kinds of things we're asking them to help us with.
Right. Well, I don't think all home builders are greedy and bad planners and are, you know, quick money people. But I think you need a much broader input of information and advice
and
expertise in home builders.
Of course.
Because,
we haven't had that much advice from them in my experience in the last few years.
Yeah.
It's like I've been attending the Board of Realtors, Athens Area Board of Commercial Realtors meetings for the last year or so, and I have learned so much about what the issues are that I don't know how I would have learned any other way. And I think we're going to have the same experience with the Home Builders Association.
Uh-huh. Well, I just wish there were another association, maybe a land trust or whatever. But there needs to be a balance to those people who are making money off of producing.
Sure.
There needs to be a balance with those people that are looking 40 years ahead to a community's development.
Well, we're not asking for input just from Home Builders Association, of course.
The new input, listen to from
more.
A whole year again. You know, give them the same listen. I appreciate that.
But speaking of planning.
We can move on to another project since we have.
Let's move on to Epps Bridge and Timothy Road, a proposal for a commercial bank at that intersection, Epps Bridge and Timothy Road. It's residential now. And there's a proposal to build a commercial bank. It's a commercial bank means only maybe 125 trips a day in and out of there. It's not a retail bank. It's a beautiful looking development. The problem is it encroaches into a neighborhood, and there's no plan. There's no plan for that piece of that strip of land along Epps Bridge Parkway, which is obviously primed to go. Other than residential, it's very difficult to live in a home on Epps Bridge Parkway now. You know, there's 120,000 cars a day that go by there now.
I go there every day.
So this one was very contentious, and we'll see how it works out. But me and a lot of commissioners just wish that, well, first of all, that we had a future development plan, land use plan that included that piece of that strip of property.
But Jerry, I totally agree that we should know how we want to see that develop because we're talking how many years has Epps Bridge Parkway been available. But one of the things that I would just ask is, don't we already have a zoning law that creates a considerate, reasonable, considerate and buffer between residential and commercial properties?
We do.
And if we've got one that's good, then we don't have a problem. But if we don't have one that's good, then we need to fix it for all of the situations where development's going to occur
next to
neighborhoods.
It's more than just about the buffer. It's also about traffic, because Kirkwood, which is just this little almost unsubstandard street.
There's a driveway on Kirkwood.
Yeah.
That's really the
And even if there wasn't a driveway on Kirkwood, if they were just coming out and turning right on Timothy, they're going to go back on Kirkwood to get back on Epps Bridge because they can't turn left on Timothy on Epps Bridge. So that's a big problem. The other problem is there are already homes listed by real estate developers or real estate folks in that neighborhood that they're trying to sell as potential commercial property.
$600,000. And are saying that they can be
easily zoned commercial.
Nothing has ever been easily rezoned.
So those zoning, that zoning pressure.
I hope not.
I mean, I wish somebody would buy it, the whole piece, and give us a nice plan development.
Yeah.
That's what
I wish. If it's really a corner lot, why is there encroachment into the neighborhood?
Because it's currently a neighborhood lot. It's commercially.
It's a
residential lot.
Yeah, I know, but if it's really on one corner is Timothy Road. Well, I'm speaking from ignorance. I'm embarrassed.
When one rezones commercial from residential, you have encroached.
Right. I understand that, but I'm saying it. we're talking about a driveway going into the neighborhood. If it's on a on those two commercial boulevard corners, if the lot is truly a corner lot, which the bank should have to pay big bucks to get the right lot and not encroach into a neighborhood, is my thought, then it would seem like that it could come in and out.
If I remember right, there was some issue with
closeness
with
of the
driveway being on Epps Bridge because of the acceleration lane.
Yeah, there's no driveway on Epps Bridge. That's impossible.
So
yeah.
It's too close.
That's
to
what
the
I'm
corner.
Saying. That's why it's not on Epps Bridge. That's right. Why there's one Epps driveway on Timothy and one on.
Yeah,
Kirkwood.
And it's in a right yeah. turn lane too. So I mean, so I haven't made
right
my mind
lot.
Up about this
yeah.
one. By the
it's
way,
it's not
just
the
to
right
be clear.
Lot. That
well, as I said, somebody needs to. They compare it to across the street, which is where we have those condominiums and the homes.
Tom Scott, yeah.
Yeah, and they say, well, you did it over there. Yeah, we did. They did a whole, and it wasn't easy. And they did a whole block.
Right.
And it was a planned development for
right,
a whole
and
block.
And they paid extra to go far enough away from that intersection not to encroach right. on the traffic or the back, right. on the rear of the property.
And of course, the more development that is allowed on that corridor, the harder it is going to be to do some kind of planned development like you're talking about, because you're already going to have a bank there
right.
and something on the other side, and
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
things are already going to be built.
Right,
it's a tough one.
Yeah.
Right. All right, so now let's move on to our final construction project.
Proposed project for a quick trip at Oconee Street and Albert Street. That's right there at Old Winterville Road, right across the street from the park and ride. In fact, part of this development will be parking spots.
And that'll be because there was going to be another park and ride lot built on the other side of
right
of Oconee from the current one.
Correct? Right, right.
Because this is that was going to be inside the new Cloverleaf that was built.
Yeah, this will be inside the Cloverleaf.
Yeah. But we don't know when that's ever going to happen.
But we don't know that's going to happen. Winterville Road is going to be realigned so that there's a light where you come off the the loop right there. So this is a complicated one too. The other issue is that it's right adjacent to the Firefly Trail. In fact, it's right adjacent to a place.
And I still think it's hilarious that the first thing someone wants to build on Firefly Trail is a gas station.
Yeah, it is. It is.
But it's not the Firefly Trail that they're building this for. They're building this for one of the largest, most congested intersections in our community
that's getting ready to be redone,
supposedly.
There's only one way into this place,
uh-huh.
and that's making a right turn off of Oconee. You can't get there from the left turn.
Uh-huh.
There's no left turn. It's a right turn in only.
A right turn coming into town, I guess.
Coming into town, that's right.
Yeah.
And then you exit on Old Winterville Road. So it's going to be, there's no light at Old Winterville Road in Oconee.
Yeah.
So it's going to be tough. Now, Harry talked about, well, maybe we can get GDOT to go ahead and get the Old Winterville realignment done.
Oh. My God, talk about 50 years.
And then the other thing is that no one took this to the Firefly Trail, Inc., or to the Rails Trails Committee to talk about that interface with the trail.
Right. Well, I'll tell you, that's a perfect example of commissioners making a policy that requires us to talk to them before we intrude.
We don't even have that for the Greenway Commission.
I know. Well, that's a perfect example of good policy.
All right. Unfortunately, we are out of time.
Thank you.
I do want to thank my guests, Commissioner Jerry Neesmith, Blake Odd, and Gwen O'Looney. To hear this show again, visit WUGA.org for our podcast. For questions or comments, visit our Facebook page. This show does not reflect the views of the station, Flagpole, or WXAG. Athens News Matters is a production of WUGA, a broadcast service of the University of Georgia. I'm Alexia Ridley.